turn to page 6. Here you see an example of another manual process that we go through. This is something that our rail supervisory controllers, after it's been determined what's going to get done or what work's going to get done, they have to manually draw out where people are going to be located.
This is perhaps the most significant image in this presentation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a picture of a form on paper.
Correct.
Where somebody handwrites in the
Correct.
Section of tracks for which you're getting rights.
Correct.
So we have a manual process that you were describing before to make the application, and we have a manual process for diagrammatically showing
Correct.
The area.
And remember, this is also used to help manage where people are.
In our highly sophisticated, very technologically advanced society and system, we're depending on somebody to scrawl on a piece of paper to decide who's on a track where.
Exactly.
Yes. Question is this a common procedure in any of the other major, say the five other largest subway systems?
Yes, we did do preliminary discussions with some of the other systems. They don't have as much as the volume of requests we do, but they also have a manual process. That's part of what we did when we looked at the feasibility before we came to this recommendation, to look at it and see if anybody else have a better system that maybe we can use.
So you're saying they're not using a more advanced system in, say, New York?
No, they're not. We actually looked at New York. We looked at New Jersey Transit. We also looked at SEPTA in Philadelphia.
What about some of the more advanced systems abroad?
We didn't get opportunity to go abroad. We did talk to a contractor who has insight to abroad, and they did a preliminary investigation for us and found that they still didn't see any that meets our needs.
Chairman?
Mr. Goff.
Work request is one thing. Workers physically out there on the tracks is another. In terms of taking it from this drawing to a day of man or woman's out there making repairs and a concern about making certain people are aware that they're out there making repairs, does this continue as a handwritten process on the trains, this automated system? Or what's the cross connect between someone handwriting here versus the day people are on the track and the train operator is heading, hopefully not Portland?
Yeah, they're actually working two processes at this point. This manual paper to give them a picture of where the work crews are located, as you identified in one half. The second part is they're still looking at another stream right now, which is our rail operation computer system, to manage stuff like de-energizing power and making sure it's safe for the person. So it's causing them to deal with two different, one manual process and one online. As the recommendation later on in here is that the new GOTR system would feed this to that system, and this display will be part of the system they're looking at to monitor and control the railroad system.
So you currently have two standalone systems that hopefully come together?
Correct. We have two, and that's the whole point. And I'm kind of reluctant to call this a system, but I guess it is a manual system, but it's to put two automated systems together.
Correct. All right, so next slide, you're going to tell us what you're going to do about it.
Exactly. Okay, the next slide on page 7 at this point is we're looking at putting together a web portal system, which is a web interface system that will allow any contractor or any internal user to be able to submit a request. You would be able to look at our system and see what's already been approved as far as work that's already out there that's maybe been planned 3 or 4 months ago at that point. And then you can determine, can you work in that area? If you happen to have a project that you think is higher priority, you can still submit the request, but the rail operations would have the ability on the back end who control this process to really define priority and who's going to get access if there's a conflict. The key here is that it should reduce the manual process the rail operations has to deal with resolving conflicts by letting the user see what is available in our system, that maybe I can't work on the red line, but maybe I can work on the orange line today, because we found a lot of our projects have multiple locations they can go to, but because they don't have no visual or no information telling them where other projects are working, everybody just submitting requests at that point. Okay, so you're going to have automatic notification come. You're going to have real-time reporting, so we can do matrix to see how well we're doing at this point. That's another downfall we have with our current process. Since it's so manual and it takes so long to get through everything, we can't gather the matrix. Now, are people getting out there on the time that they actually requested to be out there? How accurately are they getting there? They say they're going to be there at 1 o'clock in the morning, are they, and then don't show up to 2 o'clock in the morning. We have no way of managing that in the matrix to make it more efficient. Okay? And the next slide here is really, we talked about some of these already. It's really to give better productivity to us as we see more increases coming on. I'll go to the next slide. Currently, this is budgeted in the OIT program. It's already been approved for $600,000 of it to do a detailed design specification to make sure that we have the right processes and we're tackling the thing that's going to give us the biggest bang for our buck at this point.
Okay, so this is, I want to make sure I understand what this is. It says funding request, but this is already within an existing line in the budget.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So are you redirecting funds under this?
Or you we have redirected funds in the December 21st action. Now we're seeking approval to mod an existing contract to implement.
So that, in fact, this is not a budgetary action because that's already been taken. That this is simply correct. Approval for a contract.
It's approval for a contract action.
Consistent with the budget.
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, we will have to bring back the budget itself, and as part of that overall budget process, this line item is there. But we looked at it from a cost-effective standpoint. I had a great deal of discussion with the staff, and I agree from first, safety, modernizing our communications, and two, there are savings. It's difficult to quantify them today, but when you have a contractor who gets the crew together for a week and find out they can't do the work, that's ultimately charged back to us. And this would reduce that significantly, so as we move forward, we will avoid costs and of delays that we've experienced over the years.
But you are making a commitment to something that's in the budget we've not yet approved.
That is correct. The $2.6 million is in the FY08.
Mr. Cato, essentially it's your judgment that we're going to need to do this and you don't want to lose the time.
Yes. I looked at it a great deal, but I just wanted to clarify to you, it really should be worded in the sense approval, pending approval of the FY08 budget. And that way, we're not getting the cart before the horse.
Supervisor Hudson. I just wanted to make sure that we got this after our review of IT systems, and we got this very interesting graphic chart as to what we should do when and why and what the benefits. Does this fall into that, or is this?
Yes, it is part of the strategic business plan. That's right.
Is there a motion?
So move, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Goffman moves approval of the recommendation.
Second.
Second by Mr. Deegan. Further discussion?
The motion would include the proviso.
Yes.
That this is subject to
approval of the FY08 budget.
And when we say subject, you're actually going to go ahead with the contract modification before the budget's approved, right?
That's correct. We'll go ahead and do the design elements to prepare for the implementation, but the implementation is in the FYOE.
It's dependent upon.
Yes.
Well, that does raise a question, then. In the event that this is not approved in the budget, is there a cost associated with you going forward now?
No, we're not going to actually sign on that dotted line because we need the monies to be approved. That's my understanding of the process. So we're going to do all of the work going through the procurement process, to all of the documents, be ready to go. Once the FY08 budget is approved, instantly we can move forward versus starting the process at that time.
But you're doing the work under that first 600, which is in the current.
Yes, that's year. Already been approved by the board. It's already been budgeted.
And then you'll be ready to
Yes.
Roll. All right, question is on the motion to recommend approval of the recommendation of the board. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries, sir. Thank you. Next item. Station floor tiles.
Okay, Dave Couch, who's our Director of Infrastructure Renewal, will present this next item, and it's an item that we had before the board last October, I believe.
Yep.
The board asked us to take certain actions, and we're back to report on those actions.
Good morning, Mr. Couch.
Morning. By way of background, as Jim just said, in October we were here with a presentation that involved structural rehabilitation of two stations platforms. As part of that was the concept to replace the paver tile with a new type of tile. We were requested to go back and get with the Jurisdictional Coordinating Committee, also with the RAC and with the EMD Committee, to get their input on the type of tile. We've gone through that, and what you see in the next slide are three different sample panels that we prepared to facilitate that process. The one on the left is the current tile that we have in the system. The center panel includes the 12-inch square porcelain tiles with the truncated domes, and the one on the right includes the hexagonal tiles, which are the same features and appearances there is in our existing system. The input that we got from each one of the committees was that the RAC endorsed, all three endorsed the use of the porcelain tile. It gives us, as we presented earlier, a better wearing surface. There's less water that penetrates through the tile. The way that things looked on the size and shape of the tile, both the E&D and the JCC endorsed the use of the 12-inch square tile, and the RAC looked at the most economical method of installation, which is the 12-inch square tile.
They basically said, we don't care, do what's cheapest.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Sorry, Lena.
That's what's compared on the next slide. The next slide shows that if we were to stay with the existing 8-inch hexagonal quarry tile or the 12-inch porcelain, it's basically the same cost. If we go to the 8-inch hexagonal, there is an additional cost of $150,000 per station.
Is that a cost for the tile, or is that really a cost because of installation being more expensive?
It's actually a little bit of both, Mr. Zimmerman. There is a higher cost to go with the manufacturer of the tile. It's not as efficient for the manufacturers to make it in those sizes and shapes. So there's a little bit more cost for installation with more grout joints, a few more tile to handle. So it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
What that concludes with is a recommendation that we go with the 12-inch square tile. It is, as has been reflected by the request from the RAC, it's a more cost-effective. It also, by staying with the 12-inch in lieu of the hexagonal, there's fewer grout joints, which is one of the issues with water penetration into the system. It improves durability, lower maintenance costs, and also this tile has got a proven track record from use up in New York on some of their stations. There also is a mock-up down on B1, if anyone would care to see it, and we've got some further samples here.
Okay. You now have the tile we saw before, but in the color we were looking for,
yes,
which
sir.
Members didn't see. We might want to see. You can go ahead and pass that around. Mr. Graham has moved approval of the recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Deegan. Discussion.
Is this downstairs as well?
The panels that you saw on the second slide are downstairs. If you'd like to go out and down the stairs to the open area down below, there's mock-ups downstairs.
And just to review, the principal reasons for the change, one of them is that there's only one manufacturer of the quarry tile we've been using all this time, and there's a question about whether it'll continue to be available in the future.
The larger question also, Mr. Zimmerman, comes to the durability of the concrete underneath. When we came with a presentation in October, it was for the structural replacement of those platforms. The problem that you have with the existing tile system, it's a very porous system. With the amount of water that it gets through over the years, that causes deterioration of the concrete. So the big advantage that we get from this is that we will not have those out-year problems with concrete deterioration.
It'll last longer, it'll be easier to walk on, and it's more available. Mr. Coffman.
Now, the traditional Virginia approach goes along the lines of how many Virginians does it take to change a light bulb? The answer being 40, one to do it, and 39 to say
so
how good the old one was. But stepping away from that tradition, I think our custom, I think this is how well our rail system's operating, that this is even an issue for discussion. And the only way most of our customers are going to notice this is if they happen to be looking at their feet while waiting for a train.
Which they won't have to do as much of because they won't be slipping as much. Further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. I believe that concludes all that we have before us. I should have noted before that we do have present at the table a guest. Mr. Jim Cola will be sworn in later. He has been confirmed by the D.C. Council, but not yet sworn in as a member. Appointed by the D.C. Council. In any event, he's legitimately here, but not yet a member of the board. That will be taken care of in about an hour, hour and a half, I believe. And with that, we're going to conclude this committee, and I'm going to hand things over for the Policy, Legislative, and Administration Committee. Who is taking the gavel for this one? Kathy, do you want to come here or do you want to do it from there? Okay. We're adjourned.